is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
I welcome my good colleague, Bob Zimmerman. It's happy birthday, the 15th anniversary of the founding of Behind the Black, Bob's website that contains all these articles. Plus, we do what we can. We especially follow commercial space. It's a theme that Bob has developed wholly over these last 15 years. It's everywhere now, as if it was always there. It was not. When we started, big space dominated the news. You had to wait on NASA and its procedures. Now, SpaceX is our lead item for this moment, and we look to Starship tests. There have been a series of disappointments recently. However, that's part of SpaceX, test, test, test. Bob, you're looking to resume Starship Super Heavy. So before we resume, we say congratulations, 15 years of Behind the Black. We're just getting started. What about Super Heavy and Starship?
Yes, John, I am celebrating the 15th anniversary. I really hope your listeners will consider donating or subscribing to the website. It would be really appreciated. It keeps me from starving and my wife from starving and my pets from starving. SpaceX, we don't know when they're going to resume test flights. They had an explosion of a Starship on a test stand where they were doing a static fire test about 2 weeks ago, and that explosion damaged the test stand. And this is the test stand they use to do the pre-launch static fire tests of the Starship spacecraft. They do the static fire tests of Super Heavy on the launch pad. And so in order to be able to do a launch, a test flight, they've got, this is their requirements, and it also makes sense for, because these are test vehicles, they want to do these dress rehearsal launch countdown, fill the spacecraft with fuel, and do a few second static fire test. But they don't have a launch pad right now, a static fire test stand, to do Starship tests. So if they have multiple options of trying to figure out how to do this, and what they're now looking at doing to try to do it the fastest way possible, that's how SpaceX works, is while they rebuild this test stand, which will take several months, they're going to rebuild it for the what they call the Block 3, the third version of Starship, which is not yet ready to launch. In the meantime, the Block 2 Starships that are presently available to launch, these are the ones that, by the way, have been having problems. And so they do want to use up the ones they have available to do additional tests of it to try to figure out what was wrong, really get it fixed up. But that is not going to be able to be test-fired on the test stand. So what they're going to do is they're going to use the launch pad to do a static fire test of Super Heavy, and they're going to reconfigure the launch pad because it's different between the two spacecraft. They're going to reconfigure the launch pad so they can also do static fire tests of Starship on top. This is how SpaceX works, try to speed things up. If this plan, this is at least what appears they're doing, we're not 100% sure yet. If that's what they do, I expect the next flight could take place in about 2 months, maybe sooner. It's hard to say because, there's a lot of factors involved here. But they were getting close to launch. They were doing the static fire test, pre-launch test, when that explosion occurred. So they were close to launching. So if they get the test and launch pad fixed, then they can go sooner.
You have really good intuition, Bob. Is something off kilter at SpaceX, these series of disappointments?
No, not at all. I mean, they've had these kind of failures routinely in the past. We kind of forget the number of times they blew up tanks when they were testing them to failure, and we forget the number of times they launched an early version of Starship on those short suborbital flights to test landing it, and they crashed it almost every single time. These things happen, and they live with them, and they just move forward. I don't think there's anything wrong at SpaceX per se. My concern has to do with the overall larger culture, which seems to no longer have the ability to handle this kind of success. Either to do it, other people seem to be incapable. Other companies and other American infrastructure doesn't seem capable of doing the kinds of things SpaceX is doing that used to be routine for Americans. And it concerns me. And then the hostility to Elon Musk, because he's successful, it's baffling to me, but it indicates a culture that no longer is capable of doing great things. That could be a bigger obstacle to SpaceX than its own engineering questions.
You remind me of a saying, I think it's from 70 or 80 years ago. The impossible we do right away. The really impossible takes a little longer. 70 years ago. Okay.
Yeah.
Now let's do the impossible. Let's have OSHA investigate a crane and not hold it up for months and months. Is that possible, Bob?
This is not an unusual thing to happen. It happens. It shouldn't happen very often, but it does happen where a crane being used to lift heavy equipment falls over. And this was captured on one of the live streams at Boca Chica. One of the cranes at SpaceX's facility fell over. We don't know if it was a rented crane or it was a SpaceX crane. We don't really know any details. There's no indication anyone was hurt. We don't know that for a fact. OSHA is investigating as is routine. This has to happen. Even at SpaceX, this is an indication, once again, to my mind, of the decline in American competency. Crane falling over is actually, in posting this story, the number of people in the industry, construction industry, that commented, that said this happens, astonished me. It shouldn't happen almost ever, but it appears it does happen a lot, and that's disturbing from a different perspective, not SpaceX. But yes, the OSHA's investigating. We'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Now, Northrop Grumman, does this happen often, Bob? Something.
This is another example of what concerns me. You might remember when ULA's Vulcan rocket on its second launch, during that launch, it was a successful launch. They got the payload into the right orbit. But during the launch, they had two strap-on solid-fueled boosters. And on one of those boosters, the nozzle fell off during firing, which meant that the booster no longer could generate the power it was supposed to, the thrust it was supposed to, and so they had to fire the main engine longer to get into the right orbit. That was a Northrop Grumman solid-fueled rocket booster. Well, it appears another Northrop Grumman solid-fueled booster had a nozzle fall off doing a static fire test. This is a booster. It's an expanded booster based upon the shuttle strap-on boosters, but it's longer and bigger, and it's being built for the SLS rocket. And so they were doing a static fire test, and right near the end of the test, I've got video on Behind the Black, the nozzle breaks off or breaks apart. This is not a good look for SLS, because this is just an example of more technical problems and cost overruns that are going to occur. Ted Cruz wants to spend lots of money for SLS, even though these kind of problems have been happening routinely. Once again, it's not that the problem occurred, because we have them SpaceX. When you're doing new engineering and it's rocket science, things go wrong. The problem with SLS is this has been a systemic problem. And with Northrop Grumman, now we've had two nozzles break off with solid rocket boosters. That suggests a systemic problem, maybe even a fundamental design problem that they have not yet fixed. That's a real concern that has to be fixed.
And the theory was we were going to be relying on SLS until Starship came along, correct?
Yes and no. No, the original plan was NASA wanted SLS to fly forever for billions and billions of dollars, and Starship was only going to be used to land people on the moon. Starship Super Heavy were never in NASA's plans. That might be changing now under Trump. We'll have to wait and see. There is political pushback against Trump's proposals to cancel SLS. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out, John.
What is Orbex and where is Saxavord?
Saxavord is one of the two proposed spaceports in Scotland and the Shetland Islands in the north of Great Britain. Orbex is a startup rocket company. Orbex originally wanted to launch from the Sutherland Spaceport. They applied for their launch license in February of 22. 3 years later, they still had not gotten their launch license, so they decided to switch to Saxavord on the Shetland Islands because Saxavord had had some better luck getting launch licenses approved by the bureaucracy in the United Kingdom. Even though he'd also had to wait years, by the way. So they moved to Saxavord, and they said they were going to try to launch their prime rocket 3 years late by the end of this year. Well, they've now announced they've got a delay till next year. And why? They say there's some infrastructure requirements. They're setting up a new launch pad at Saxavord. But they also mentioned, quote, engagement with regulators. So I strongly suspect that the problems of your red tape in Britain continues and is probably causing them more delays. Right now, I doubt seriously any rocket company in the world that has not committed to launch from Great Britain is not going to be interested in launching it from Great Britain. And there's every sign that's what's going on. They're going elsewhere.
$9.3 million for Latitude. What is Latitude?
Latitude is a French rocket startup. They're building their own rocket, privately funded, and they have now made a deal with the space agency of France, CNES, to build a spaceport on in French Guiana. And they're going to commit $9 million to do this. And so this is the second company that's a private company in Europe that is now building facilities at one of the launch pads at French Guiana. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to work the two companies together, whether everything will be compatible or whether it'll be all the same. I don't know how they're playing that. But either way, we now have a second rocket company, private, flying out of French Guiana, John.
And I've asked this before, but I don't recall the answer, Bob. Is French Guiana a good place, a launch place for LEO?
Every place on the globe, it's not the latitude you're at only favors certain orbits over others. But if you're like in a polar, high latitude location, it's more favorable to polar orbits going over the poles. If you're near the equator, it's more favorable to equatorial orbits. Well, both are needed. So spaceports location latitude-wide isn't so much that one's better than another. They serve different purposes. French Guiana is near the equator, so it definitely is better for equatorial launches. You can do polar launches as well. It's not quite as advantageous, but it works. French Guiana's advantage is it's off the coast, and it's controlled by Europe, so European companies can use it, and that's really the main advantage.
And the European Union has a new space law. Uh-oh, Bob, hold on to your wallet. Here we go.
Yeah. Watch your wallet. Keep your hand on it. You're getting pickpocketed. The European, they don't have the space law. They proposed their new space law. This was actually delayed by a year almost because there was significant opposition within the European Union. Its very members and member nations did not want the European Union to create a space law that would supersede all their own space laws. They did not want them to do it. They didn't like their original proposals, which were very bureaucratic and overbearing, and so they resisted, and so this was delayed. But it's now been released, and it does appear they tried to limit its area of coverage to certain specific things, such as space junk and deorbiting spacecraft. It imposes new environmental safety and cybersecurity regulations. They claim it's going to cut red tape, but I read this law, and it will be a disaster for Europe if this is passed and supersedes all the licensing requirements from other nations. I expect that when the European Union's Commission meets this fall, there's going to be a significant resistance to this being passed and approved. At the same time, the European Union is designed to make the passage of such bureaucracy very easy. It's very difficult to block it. And so we'll have to wait and see how Europe goes. If this passes, it's going to be a significant negative impact on the European space industry.
Bob Zimmerman, happy birthday anniversary, 15 years. Your subscription and donations are most welcome, most generous. We turn to Discovery. I'm John Batchelor.